mostly about triggers, but also some issues like asthma management plans, etc. But they also received some supplies like portable pest control supplies, hypoallergenic bedding, and some smoking cessation. Eventually, the education group did get the interventions as well, but not until after we looked at how they did after just the education intervention. And then the home intervention, which, by the way, cost about on average about $2,000, not including staff, per unit. And what we did was we addressed the asthma hazards by removing the carpeting in the bedrooms, doing ventilation improvements, improving leaking plumbing, and doing home mold remediation. We also
not in your frying pan. It's used for water-resistant coatings, many things, and it's not a regulated chemical, so you won't see much in the public domain. So it's on your bag of popcorn. You're eating PFOA. It's in firefighting foam. So all these people were exposed to PFOA, and PFOA is everywhere. It's in the Antarctic. It's in the Arctic. It's in unindustrialized area. It's very persistent. It does not biodegrade. It's present in marine mammals. We don't know where it comes from naturally, and can it be in Antarctica industrially? But again, who cares? But animal studies do show that PFOA is toxic. And of course, liver malignancies in rats is the biggest concern. In rats, it is hepatotoxic, immunotoxic, and will shrink fat. And there's also developmental delays in pups of rats. There's also in rats pancreatic acinar cell tumors and Leydig cell adenomas. Monkeys did show hepatotoxicity mainly. Industry has studied this chemical. DuPont, 3M, has studied this chemical. But of course, folks in Little Hocking weren't very trusting of the industrial research. But cross-sectional analysis showed there's a correlation between PFOA and cholesterol. And a retrospective analysis showed an increased incidence of prostate cancer in retirees. But that was not repeated. It wasn't reproducible. PFOA, like in the environment, has a relatively long half-life in humans. In humans, it's about 4 years. In rats, it's a lot faster. All right, so we have a community that's across the river from a company that is using PFOA. That company's been there since 48, and it's been using the chemical since 51. And Little Hocking established a water system to deliver water to the residents in 68. And darn it if PFOA wasn't detected in that water supply starting in 84, but those results were not made public. Well, how did it get in the water supply? The Washington Works plant had significant emissions of PFOA into the air. They would incinerate it off-site, and they would release it to the groundwater and to the Ohio River. The EPA stated in 05 that the individuals that are exposed to PFOA, they don't know really, is it coming from what's in the air, what's in the water, what's exposed dermally. So what happened in Washington County, Ohio, is there was a local swell of public concern, certainly. These folks are in an industrial alley. They all feel like they live in pollution. And so they got a local healthcare provider, got a community action organization going, and enlisted Dr. Ted Emmett, the University of Pennsylvania. So this community advisory committee would meet on at least a quarterly basis and included many members of the community. Their concerns were the state of West Virginia, who get taxes from the industry, they keep elevating the safe level of serum PFOA. 1 year it's 20, the next year it's 75, the next year it's 150. Individuals in Washington County want wanted their water tested. But the very few laboratories that test PFOA in the country had contracts with industry. So they refused to test the residents' water. 3M, right around that time, stopped manufacturing C8. And EPA, unfortunately, increased the residents' concern because they designated it a probable human carcinogen. And again, we don't know where the exposure is really coming from. So with this collaboration, the aims of the study were to determine the level of C8 in the blood of the residents, to determine where it was coming from, and was it hurting the residents? Did it cause any long-term damage, as it has been shown in rats? So we did a stratified random sample of 326 folks in Washington County in Little Hocking Water Association reticulation area, and also did a questionnaire to ask them about their water intake, their other exposures, their occupational exposures. Do they work at the DuPont plant? Do they have liver disease, thyroid disease? We also tested serum biomarkers of effect and serum PFOA. But really, the key of our study was half the science and half the communication strategy. Our goal was really to make this a community project. So you already see we've done some of these, and pardon me for the complicated diagram. So we got to where we got the study participants, all of that, but we kept the collaboration and the interest in the stakeholders going by quarterly newsletters, a website, and we developed a strategy before we even got the results of how we would present those results to the community and to prioritize the results to the individual residents. So again, the science was one thing, the communication strategy was another job that we undertook. So our principles were we wanted the individual participants to get their results first. Press would be informed, but in a timely manner after the residents got their results. And we wanted certainly to be sure that the results were as accurate as possible since they would not initially go through peer-reviewed literature. We wanted the study to be a credible source of information because many of the residents thought we were in cahoots with industry or with government or with any other stakeholder. Certainly there was a lot of the residents had a lot of concerns about what the chemical was doing to them, so we tried to maintain control on the rumor mill. And we actually had a physician, and that was me, to answer questions from individuals concerning all the aspects of their results. And who were our targets for communication? We had many. And you see the bottom was our scientific community. We reversed the normal order. So our top priority was dissemination of individual results, and we timed the release of results very carefully. We group sent the letters of the individual results to the participants, and then we told the press that we're going to have a community meeting, and you'll find out the results at the community meeting. The individuals had already gotten their results. So we went into an auditorium on a hot August night, a high school auditorium, and we released the results. And only afterwards did the other stakeholders get the results, and then they were published in August 06. So what are the results? Residents are exposed to C8 through their drinking water. And fortunately, there was no relationship between their blood C8 levels, PFOA levels, and other chemical markers, other biological markers that we tested. And we didn't see any correlation between residents with self-reported history of liver or thyroid disease and their PFOA levels. C8 levels were, though, related to age, and you'll see a graph in just a second. Higher C8 PFOA levels in the blood were related to how much water you drank, and if people grew their own vegetables and ate killed their own meat, their PFOA levels were higher. And unfortunately, those folks were thinking, well, I'm eating my own homegrown vegetables, I'm maintaining a healthy lifestyle, but actually their PFOA levels were significantly higher. They were significantly lower in those who attempted to use and effectively use, we hope, a carbon water filter. And here's the results. General population, you and me, our levels are about 5